I read recently about an elderly lady, this nice grandma, decided that it was too much trouble to get all of her kids and grandkids Christmas presents. She couldn't get out easily, and it was difficult for her to shop, and it was just too hard to get all their presents. And so she decided this year that she would send them a check with a card. A few days after she mailed all the cards, she discovered that she forgot to include the checks in the cards. And so she could just see on their faces, she could imagine what they must have thought when they got a card from Grandma and opened it, and it said, "Buy your own presents." It helps to take a little more time to be prepared around Christmas. In fact, I want us to think this morning about how we can prepare for Christmas. It's important for us to be ready, to think it through, to have a plan, to be prepared for Christmas. I wonder, with all the other preparations going on, we've got to, if you think about it, we spend a lot of time. Many of us have already been shopping. Some of us were standing in line for, I think, about 8 hours at Target just to please our wife, you know. What is that good? What do they call that? Black Friday? Oh. Yeah. The line to check out. The line to check out. Not to find stuff, but to get out of the place. Started at the cash registers, and it went in and out the aisles all the way back to the back of the store, and then it hung a right, and it went in and out of the aisles halfway down the back wall. Merry Christmas. And we'll do that stuff. And we'll spend money on lights, and we'll spend hours putting up lights and competing with the neighbors. By the way, every neighbor on my street has me beat so far. And we'll plan parties, and we'll buy new clothes, and we'll get ready. But with all the preparations going on, I wonder, will we take time to prepare our hearts? We'll get the tree ready. We'll get the stuff under the tree ready. We'll get the food ready. We'll get the house ready. We'll get the yard ready. Will we get us ready? I want to encourage you this morning to start thinking with me about how we prepare for Christmas. And to get us started, I want us to look at Isaiah chapter 40 at verse 3. On this Sunday that we think about hope, this was one of those prophecies that brought hope to so many. And it tells of what's going to happen when Messiah is ready to come. In Isaiah chapter 40 at verse 3, a voice is calling, "Prepare the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. And let the rough ground become a plain and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Isaiah says before Messiah can come, somebody's got to get things ready. There was in that day a fairly common, I say common, it was well known, although it didn't happen very often. The practice was known, and that is that if a king is going to go from point A to point B, there is a journey that has been planned ahead, and his folks, his engineers, if you want to call them that, his soldiers, they would go before he ever got ready for his trip. They would go and make sure that the road was prepared for him. that if there was an unnecessary hill that was too steep, they would lower it. If there was a ditch in the road or what we might call a valley that was too steep, they would raise it. They would prepare for an important ceremonial kind of journey. And then when the king got ready to come, the way had been prepared, and he could go from point A to point B. And as he journeyed, he didn't have to worry about the ups and the downs and the twists and the turns. Instead, he could just travel, and everyone could see him in his royal glory. And now Isaiah says, our Messiah is a king, and when Messiah comes, we've got to prepare the way for him. A voice is calling in the wilderness, prepare the way. Isaiah is really talking about someone who came before Jesus. Who's Isaiah talking about? John the Baptist, prepare the way. Get ready, people. He's coming. And sure enough, John the Baptist fulfilled this prophecy, and he stood in front of the folks and he said, Messiah is coming. He's get ready. Get your hearts ready. That's why John the Baptist called people to repentance, because he was telling them, get your hearts ready for the coming of the Lord. Prepare ye the way. Get things ready. We're looking forward to Christ coming this Christmas. We're going to have to be ready for his arrival. We have to prepare the way. I want to share with you this morning three ways, three things that you can do to prepare your heart for Christmas. The first thing that you can do to prepare your heart for Christmas is become a child again. Become a child again. You ever heard somebody say, Christmas is for the kids? You ever said that yourself? Christmas is for kids. I tell you what, if Christmas is for kids, I hope I never grow up. You know, we kind of like to put on a martyr attitude and all the sacrifices that we have to go to for these kids. But Christmas is for the kids. Doesn't matter if I enjoy, it's for them. I want to tell you something. Christmas ought to make all of us have that wonder and awe and joy of a child. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus speaks about that very thing. In Luke 18 at 15. He says, they were bringing even their babies to him so that he might touch them. But the disciples saw it. They began rebuking them. In other words, people were bringing children to Jesus, and the disciples said, hey, he's too important for that. We don't have time for little kids. He's got important grown-up stuff to do. But Jesus called for the children, saying, permit the children to come to me and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it at all. He says the way for us to understand and to welcome the kingdom of God into our lives is to receive it as a child. Now he is not saying stay immature and don't grow up. He's not saying become a 60-year-old, 70-year-old, 80-year-old baby. What he's saying instead is hold on to the joy, to the awe, to the wonder that a child has when he hears something fantastic. There are two things that we want to hold on to as adults. There are two things that we learned as children that we want to hold on to. And one is dependence. You know, children are totally dependent on their parents. Children are a model for how we learn to trust our Heavenly Father. Children show us how to depend on parents. That reminds us, as God's children, we have to depend on Him. We trust in our Heavenly Father. In Matthew 7, Jesus said, you know, if your If your son asked for a piece of bread, you wouldn't give him a rock, right? If he asked for a fish, you wouldn't give him a snake. You're going to take care of your child. And then he says, and if you then, being evil, and what he meant in that case, if you then, being the normal, fallen, messed up human beings that you are, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who's in heaven give good things to those who ask him? One of the things that we need to have a childlike view of the kingdom is to remember dependence. We need someone else. We need God the Father. Something else that I think it means to enter the kingdom as a child, something that we hold on to from our childhood, is that wonder, that sense of wonder, that wow. You ever notice that children see things differently? They're amazed by simple things. You walk down the street, Daddy, look, a ladybug. Yeah, that's a ladybug. Yeah. Daddy, look at this rock. It's got crystal, it's got diamonds in it, you know. Yeah, that's shiny. That's pretty. Look at that rainbow. Yeah, that's a rainbow. There's wonder. They find joy in the simplest things. They see things differently. They find beauty where we usually take things for granted. We don't take time to see the things around us. We don't take time to wonder at them, to be awed by the power of a waterfall, to be amazed by the change that takes place when that ugly little hairy worm turns into a beautiful butterfly. You see, we want to hold on to that wonder. Imagine the Creator of the universe has chosen to enter into our experience. The Maker of all that is has chosen to become a part of the creation. The Lord of Lords became a baby boy. That's amazing. We ought to be filled with that wonder like a child. See, that's why Christmas is just another day to most of us, because we've had so many of them already. We've been through this before. It's just another holiday. We get through this one, and then there's New Year's, and we get through that, and then there's Valentine's. It's just something else. You want to prepare your heart for Christmas? Become a child again. Remember that you depend on that baby boy that was born at Christmas, and remember that there is wonder and awe that he came at all. Jesus calls us to become children again. Let him amaze you. Let him astound you. Let him dazzle you with his greatness and his goodness. The second thing that I would say to you is a way to prepare your heart for Christmas is to rediscover the blessings of giving. We're in Luke, so if you turn to the right just a little ways, you'll find Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, we'll start at verse 35 in just a moment. When Louisa May Alcott wrote Little Women, she said, Christmas won't be Christmas without any presents. And you know, part of us wants to say, oh no, it's not about the presents. No, you shouldn't think about giving and receive. No. Oh, Grinch, you know you don't really think that. I'm telling you, if there's no presents, there's half of Christmas is useless. My family, my brothers, That family, we meet in Waco every year. There we all bring our families. It's a big thing. A couple of years ago, they were starting to say, well, do we really need to give gifts? I mean, it's such a pain. It's just so, you know, it's so complicated. We don't really even know what to buy each other. Do we really have to do this? And I said, yes. Why? Because Christmas is a way to remember the greatest gift giver who gave the greatest gift ever. Now, if we're given gifts so that we can line our pockets with more stuff, then you're right. Just forget it. But if we're given gifts as a symbol of the fact that Christmas is the time that the greatest gift giver gave the greatest gift, hey, bring them on. I think gifts are a part of Christmas. I think it's an important part, not because of the stuff as much as it is the reason we give. We serve a God who is a giver. And we want to be like Him. We want to give. And so in Acts chapter 20, at 35, in everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner you must help the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that He Himself said, it is more blessed to give than receive. There's a blessing in giving. Paul is saying his last goodbye to some of his dear friends at the church at Ephesus, and he wants to leave them with words that will help them stay faithful to God and to help them enjoy the blessings of God. And amidst everything he says, he quotes the words of Jesus, it is a greater blessing to give than it is to receive. Don't forget that this Christmas. Don't forget that there is tremendous blessing in giving. Why? Because it makes us more like the one we worship. When we give, we become more like our Heavenly Father. We fulfill our purpose in glorifying Him. There is more blessing in giving than there is in receiving. Matter of fact, Jesus said, give, and it'll be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. You ever have a problem that I do getting that trash bag out of that little kitchen can? You know, you pull that thing and it gets some kind of suction. It's hard to get that. You kick the can, finally get that thing out, and then it's all falling out. And what do? You close it at the top and you push down, right? Make sure all that stuff gets pushed down in, and then you can handle that bag, and now you're finally ready to take it out. He says, I tell you what, you learn to give, and the blessings you receive are going to be like blessings in that bag that are overflowing, and all you can do is tie it and push it down, press down, and you can't. The bag can't even hold it. It's going to still fall out all over your lap. When you and I learn the joy of giving, the blessings of giving, we are preparing our hearts for a real Christmas. John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that He what? He gave. God so loved the world that He gave. And when we learn the blessings, we remember the blessings of giving, we are fulfilling our role as His people. A third thing that I would suggest to you this year as a means of preparing your heart for Christmas, turn the lights on. Philippians chapter 2 at verse 14, turn the lights on. Now, I didn't hear her, but I can promise you that my wife just said something to my daughter. I can promise you, because we don't have lights up at my house yet. And we may not for a day or two. I don't have time, and I hate messing with those things. Golly, they get all tangled, and there's not a way to keep them from getting tangled when you start. You got to pull that stuff out. You got to put the stakes in the thing. Then you got to look down at the neighbors and see how many they have. You got to put more on. Oh, my gosh. But once it's done, don't you love it? Man, I love going around seeing all the Christmas lights. It's so fun. It makes Christmas. The lights on the tree and the lights in the streets and oh, man, the lights are beautiful at Christmas. And there's a reason that we have lights at Christmas. Because they remind us that Jesus came to be the light of the world. And when He came to be the light of the world, He then turned around and said, now you guys are the light of the world. Get out there and shine. In Philippians chapter 2, you're already in Acts, so you just turned a little bit to the right, and there's Philippians chapter 2. Verse 14. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. He says, Christians, you be different. Your life ought to be different. Your mindset ought to be different. Your attitude ought to be different than all those other crazy people at the Target on Black Friday. There ought to be something different about you. And he said, as you change your mind, you change your attitude, you begin to live differently, you'll shine like lights in a dark world. The Lord Jesus called himself the light of the world, and then he called us the light of the world. And we ought to be out there shining. You want to prepare yourself for Christmas? Matthew 5 and 16 says, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works, but they glorify your Father in heaven. That's how you prepare for Christmas. You shine, you live differently, you direct people toward Christ. You show them by your example that you're different, and when they see that you're different, they want to figure out why. And so 1 Peter says, but in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. You see, when we know Christ, we have hope, and we can live a different life, and folks want to know why. And we let our light shine. 2 weeks before Christmas, a 9-year-old girl was walking with her friend down the street. The two of them were talking about what they hoped to get for Christmas. They stopped to talk to an old man named Harry. He was on his knees pulling weeds from around a large oak tree. He wore a frayed woolen jacket and a pair of worn garden gloves. His fingers were sticking out the ends of the fingers of those gloves, and his fingers were even blue with cold. Harry told him that he was getting the yard in shape as a Christmas present to his mother, who had passed away several years before. His eyes brimmed with tears as he patted the old oak tree. My mama was all I had. She loved her yard and her trees, so I do this for her every Christmas. His words touched the girls, and soon they were down on their hands and knees helping him to weed around the trees. It took the three of them the rest of the day to complete the task. When they finished, Harry pressed a quarter into each of their hands. I wish I could pay you more, but it's all I've got right now, he says. The girls had often passed that way before. As they walked on, they remembered that house. They thought about how they had seen it in the days before and weeks before. It was a shabby house. There was never a wreath on the door at Christmas time, no Christmas tree or other decorations. They remembered how all they ever really noticed was Harry sitting by a window that didn't even have curtains on it. And as they walked, the quarter seemed to burn a hole of guilt in that one little girl's mind as they returned to their homes. The next day, she called her friend, and they agreed to put their quarters in a jar marked Harry's Christmas Present. Then they began to seek out small jobs to earn more. Every nickel and dime and quarter they earned went into that jar. 2 days before Christmas, they had enough to buy new gloves and a Christmas card. Christmas Eve found them at Harry's doorstep singing carols. When he opened the door, they presented him with the gloves wrapped in pretty paper, the card and pumpkin pie still warm from the oven. With trembling hands, he tore the paper from the gloves, and then, to their astonishment, he held the gloves to his face and wept. This year, you can survive the Christmas season. You can gripe and complain about the bother. You can yawn when you hear the Christmas story. be glad when the whole thing is over, or you can prepare for Christmas the way the girls in the story did, by becoming a child again, by rediscovering the blessing of giving, by shining like lights in a dark world. How is Jesus calling you to prepare your heart this morning? Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love for us, and we thank you for the hope of Christmas. We pray that you'd begin a process of preparing us that we might really celebrate Christ. Help us at this moment to begin that journey to Bethlehem, to begin the preparation for Christmas.